took the nails for me.
This is Glorious Day, a program that grew from a vision.
A vision to support our brother and sister Christians.
And those who are still seeking Jesus.
By applying God's word to the everyday concerns and challenges that we all face today.
We are two local pastors who love Jesus.
And his people.
And he wants us to strengthen his disciples.
To get stronger, because God's promised revival is on the way.
Well, greetings. This is Pastor David, and I am with my brother,
Pastor Barry.
Yes, and we're glad to be back, and welcome to a glorious day. Before we begin to talk about our theme and read our scripture, you may want to get in touch with us. In fact, a lot of our programs, and this one is going to also be part of that kind of in the category of we do a lot of talking, but we may not have a lot of answers for you.
That's true.
And we present stuff. We speak out of our personal experience, out of our study of the Word of God. And yet, you know, when you start splitting hairs down to the root, sometimes, you know, you get different questions, different opinions. And maybe you want to write us and say, when you were talking about this, I thought about that.
Uh-huh.
Or I have a question, or, you know, you're really full of it. And I really want you guys to explain. And whatever it is. And so our email is gloriousdayradio@outlook.com. That's gloriousdayradio@outlook.com. We'd love to hear from you. And it doesn't have to be complimentary.
Mm-hmm.
Although it might be nice every now and then.
Well, that's fine. But, you know, we just want an honest communication.
Absolutely. Yes.
You know, David and I don't know everything.
We don't.
Even though we've been around for a couple of hundred years now, we don't know anything. We know some things.
We know some
things. But some of the answers to the questions you may have, only God knows.
Exactly. And I think part of what we do in this radio program is to show people that, mm-hmm. you know, no matter how far along you are in your relationship with the Lord, how many years you've served him,
mm-hmm.
that we're still in an exploration process. You know, we don't know everything. Every day it's a new day in Christ.
We are a work in progress.
We are a work in progress, and mm-hmm. while many things have been established since the foundation of the world, and those promises God made are truly always going to be kept, but in some of the questions that rise up for us, you know, we'll learn from God in prayer, but it also doesn't hurt to dialogue with a brother or sister, especially mature Christians.
Amen.
So, the theme for tonight, and you can listen closely to this, this is an issue for a lot of Christians. I mean, it's for a lot of people, whether they believe or not, but it's certainly an issue in the church. So we want to talk about who's in charge. And the theme is politicians come and go, but we have no king but Jesus. And with that, we have a reading from Psalm 47. I'm going to ask my brother Barry to read that.
Psalm 47, verse 6 through 8. Sing praises to God, sing praises. Sing praises to our King, sing praises. For God is the King of all the earth, sing praises with a psalm. God reigns over the nations, God sits on his holy throne. The word of the Lord.
Amen. Mm-mm-mm. Thank you. Now, that's just three verses from a psalm. And yet, that theme is replicated throughout the Bible. And it all points to one truth, and that's God is God. I mean, he is in charge. He's the king over all the earth. And the meaning of that is we can expand. It's not just the earth.
King.
You know, one little orb of mud in a very large universe. God's mm-hmm. the king of all that is made.
He's not just local.
Not just local. Oh, God is long distance, too.
Yeah.
And It's important that we remember this, especially in times like this, where, and I'll speak of America because that's where we live, that there is political chaos. We all know that. We've discussed it several times in the radio station.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of things going on. It's very frustrating, anxiety-producing. And when a Christian, someone who truly believes, has Jesus in their heart, and yet when that person begins to be frustrated, anxious, and absolutely worried every time they read the news, and see what's being said. And of course, all that's anxiety producing anyway, because I don't think there are too many mainline news outlets that are God honoring. In fact, it's on the other end of the spectrum. They just want to scare the crap out of you.
And make money.
And make money at the same time. Unfortunately for them, I've noticed that some of them are not making money.
You know, David, in reading this, it really makes you decide and define who you think God is and how big is your God.
Yep.
And is God in a box on your desk or in your bookshelf available to be opened and used anytime you need him?
Yeah. What an available God that would, right?
You know, the last time I voted, I won't tell you who I voted for, but the last time I voted, it really touched, the Holy Spirit kept touching my heart saying, pray, pray, pray. I don't know if other people, when they stand in that funny little booth with the sides that are covering for privacy, are actually praying before they actually vote.
Yeah, good question.
I encourage you to do so and ask the Holy Spirit, because we don't really know. We watch the commercials, we read platforms, things like that. The Holy Spirit knows. He knows what they're promising now, and he knows the outcome, and he knows what they're going to be doing in 2, 3, 4 years from now.
Absolutely.
God knows everything. So instead of reading the pamphlet and going with that, I would highly suggest as a Christian that you take the time to pray and ask for spiritual guidance before you start checking off the boxes. I just thought I'd share that, because sometimes it's intimidating, because you don't want to do the wrong thing. You want to do a God-honoring thing when you vote.
Yeah, I agree. Although some Christians are adverse to thinking along the lines of God wanting to get involved in government. And yet, again, God and government is the theme throughout all of Scripture. Mm-hmm. And in fact, in reading what we just read, what Barry just read, God is the king of all the earth, like all of creation. And all authority comes from him. Everyone in authority, from the president down to your local dog catcher, who has been given authority from the county to catch dogs and other creatures, I suppose. But all that authority, they mediate what belongs to God. If you're a patriarch or a matriarch in your family, meaning you're the oldest living male or female, and so you have been given authority by virtue of that role, that authority too comes from God, because God's over the family.
That's right. It should be that way.
Mm-hmm. And part of it is our attitude. And I think this is me opinionating now, or opining as the appropriate word is. I think that there are many Christian folk who haven't really prayed or studied the word closely when it comes to this issue. And so when the template that they have for looking at their society they live in, and the people in authority, in government particularly, is either they don't believe they have anything to say about it because those people are in authority and they're not. And there's a reading from Paul. I can't quote it because I didn't write it down.
That's okay, Dan.
But you know, you've all read it, so I think it's in Colossians or it may be in Romans, to be honest with you. Forgive me. And certain of our listeners that, you know, really hone in on citations, you can look it up in your concordance, okay? Mm-hmm. But the point is, Paul does say we should honor the authority of those in government. And Paul goes on to talk about, the way he talks about it is those, he assumes that they're basically godly people, or maybe they're doing godly things. They have a great attitude about their authority, their role. They're not in it for themselves. I mean, I'm just expanding on that, because, you know, he says, you know, honor them, do what they say, trust God and all of that. But Paul never removes God from the equation. And more so, as we study Scripture, we realize that God wants his people to be providing input into the culture, because God really does want to be in government. There's a messianic prophecy from Isaiah. I think it's Isaiah 55 from that chapter, where he says about Jesus that the government will be upon his shoulder. Now, many people read that and say, well, that obviously means that the government of the day eventually got upset with him, and they sent him on the cross. Mm-hmm. They got him killed. And to be honest with you, as a literal interpretation, I understand how you get that. But if you go back to the and go in depth into the scripture, mm-hmm. that does not mean that the government is breathing down his neck. That means the government of God on his shoulder is a term that means that part of the oversight of God. And Jesus being God, God incarnate, the government of God is on his shoulder. That's a positive thing. And so if we are followers of Jesus, we're mm-hmm. part of his church, then he wants us to know what's going on and have input. You know, and the fact that the church hasn't done this mm-hmm. is how Roe v. Wade came about.
Perhaps it's because they haven't done that people over the centuries have minimized or compartmentalized God's place in their daily life.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't want to pray about a parking space or a raise at work or anything at work, because God's busy doing much more grandeur things and blessings for all of us. And so I won't bother him about my work, my politics, or anything else, because I want to be a good Christian. Well, that's wrong.
Yeah, that's wrong.
And he wants to be part of every second of every minute of every hour of every day of your life.
Absolutely.
You can't compartmentalize this. And that perhaps is why the powers that be get away with what they do, because the Christians are absent from the equation.
Well, look at what's happened in education over the last 40 years, that slowly but surely the enemy has come in through people who are not God-honoring. They were elected or appointed, you know, to authoritative positions, but instead of when the church kind of staying in touch with that and noticing, you know, because what's going on today in a lot of school systems is that all of this ridiculous and even insane kind of attitudes about gender dysphoria and, you know, the whole gay LGBTQ stuff that has been allowed to filter down into the substance of American education
right.
in many places. And what? So that three-year-olds are being taught about gender change, you know, and first, you know, I mean, it's...
Who do you suppose is behind all that?
Well, the enemy, the devil, mm-hmm, right. is behind. He came into the system through people that didn't know the Lord, didn't know any better.
He took the easy way in.
He did. That's how the devil has the long view, at least we know. Mm-hmm. He isn't going to rush and do anything. He's going to take his time, and you can see then over time mm-hmm. it's gotten into. And so we have this absolute heresy and all of these major lies about humanity, about the family.
Sure.
And about our country and America as God intended it to be, all being confused and given to the minds of young people who don't know any better, you see. And so because the church, I'm going to indict the church, and I'm a member of it, and I recognize, you know, 30 years ago, 37 years ago when I was ordained, I didn't have this conviction I do now. So I will take some of the responsibility for being an ordained person who did not stand up in public mm-hmm. when these things started to happen. And I had a child in school, you know, in those days, and say, this is wrong. You know, and I could have been booed out of the room. But the church did not take a stand. And look, what's happened because we didn't speak into the culture.
I think about the movement in the late 50s, early 60s, for the African Americans that were standing up for their own rights. And forgive me, I don't remember which civil rights leader said this, but and he recently died. I'll think of it in a minute and blurt it out. But he described his activities as getting into good trouble.
Yeah.
For a very good cause.
Right.
Nonviolent, but getting into good trouble. And I think that Christians somehow are they're reticent about getting into good trouble. Disturbing the peace at a family barbecue, or standing up in the middle of a city hall or a school
yeah.
commissioner's meeting and getting into good trouble. It's
probably a certain degree of fear, lack of confidence.
Sure. Yeah.
I'm pray it does. It's not a lack of faith, but that could be it too, or a lack of understanding. So I guess that what I'm saying is a member of the body of Christ is sometimes you got to get in good trouble.
I like that phrase.
Yeah, I'm getting in good trouble today. You know, I always think about all the opportunities I had, like you did too, David, where you were in a situation and perhaps people were disparaging God or misquoting and maybe even using scripture as a weapon, weaponizing scripture. And I probably should have said something because it's self-serving. You get a fairly intelligent person that can memorize a lot of scripture, but their heart's not in it and they're truly not a Christian. They will weaponize and use it for their own purposes. It's for us to stand up and get in good trouble and interrupt them and correct them, course correction, truth and love, right?
Yeah.
So I just thought I'd throw that out there because I'm guilty too.
Yep. Well.
But hopefully a little wiser and a little braver now.
I think a lot of, I'd say just a certain percentage of people, and especially today, because the church, when you get down to when you read scripture with this one point in mind is that what is the church's response to the culture?
Mm-hmm.
And what's going on? Well, the church is to teach the culture, to mm-hmm. share the gospel. That's our job. You know, the church is not supposed to sit back and ask the culture its opinion
mm-hmm.
of what it should be doing. The church should be resolutely, faithfully sharing God's word and his truth with the culture. And that gets down to when a school board is passing on literature that they're giving the kids that is sexually explicit, that causes them to question their gender, and a lot of other things, question their parents' authority, question the nature of the country they're living in,
mm-hmm.
and all of this stuff that is lies to begin with, based on non-factual, non-empirical data that someone made up and it sounded good.
That's right. And
here's the, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Well, I did want to interrupt, but...
But you did anyway. No.
I did anyway. Looking at what you just said.
Yeah.
Let's use our Wayback Machine. It's 1940, and someone stands up at a school board meeting and said, this is what I propose for us to teach to our children, and they come out with what we're hearing now.
Yeah.
They would not only be booed off the stage, they'd probably be tarred and feathered, and they'd lose their position. Why? Because at that time, the church hadn't been abandoned as it has been, where we're looking at three or four generations of unchurched families.
Right.
So,
exactly.
Like you just said earlier, Satan's patient, and he's got the long view, the long-term plan. And this is the right time, because he's finding weakness here, there, and everywhere, to jump in with his stuff.
Yeah.
Whereas that stuff would not have fit in when we were a God-honoring society back in the day, before you and I were born.
Oh, yeah.
But things changed over the years, and the liberal causes took hold, and generation upon generation. And I'll say this, that those Ten Commandments, the rough edges were sanded off over it, with a little unholy Dremel, by the way, sanding off all the rough edges so it doesn't hurt anymore.
Yeah.
And finally tossed into the fire and forgotten. So it really was a matter of when this would happen, and it's happening now.
It is. And so what is our response as the church, as a body of Christ? And it seems to me, and others, of course, have already come to this conclusion, but we need to, for instance, we've said, and the reason we started this was that our King is Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have to consider, and I think it's important that the church be open to not just praying about what's coming up election time, because that's these leaders we elect have a major impact on the shape of our nation and the direction we're going in.
They can change society in one cycle.
That's right. And if you are someone reasonable enough to look at where we're going and say, this ain't right, then we have to be cautious and careful about who we elect. because they're the ones that are going to be put in the position of making the decisions that move and shape our nation. So what is the church supposed to do? Well, we ask Jesus, who is the king? You know, who should we put our trust? We'd put our trust in you, but who should we vote for? Now, some people say, I've never asked him about that. I don't think he cares. I say, yes, he does.
Yes, he does.
Look at what's happening now. Don't you think Jesus cares about all the dead babies from Roe v. Wade? Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's gone away, but it hasn't. Abortion hasn't ended in this country.
No.
There's still going to be dead babies, and he's not happy about any one of them.
And every one of those were created for a reason.
Yeah, God's
authentic creation. And society doesn't look at it that way.
Well, think
it's disposable.
God's authority given to people to have children. Mm-hmm. You know, you've ever thought about that?
Mm-hmm.
God's grace, his authority is given to you to be parents. And, you know, given the woman's the body to have a baby, which, of course, is another life within her. It's not her. Mm-hmm. It's not her life, but it's being formed and shaped in her life. And God's loves the family. The family is his model, the only model mm-hmm. for how people should be, how relationships should be, and how we can see God in the family, a living Christian family that honors him. And so when the time comes, midterms are coming up, folks,
mm-hmm.
and it's important the church start looking at people who are seeking office, and especially when the primaries are over, and then you have people that are actually going to run for the seat.
Right.
And
got to do your homework.
Do your homework. And a lot of it's not just going into prayer, oh, that's part of it, but also their lives should be available to you. They should have some background that they've written up about who they are and what they think. Now, of course, we're trusting them to be honest. May not always be the case. But between your prayer and doing some actual study, and in some areas, the church has helped put out voting guides
mm-hmm.
for the people in their area who are running and actually have checked out if they're an incumbent, their voting record, and have they voted on godly things or have they voted on ungodly things.
Amen.
And so that's another point to factor into your prayerful consideration.
And when you've done all these studies and all this research and you get into that voting booth, that's why it's so important to pray, because you have to pray for God's will, not your own. God's Amen. Interpretation, not your own.
That's right.
And that's a gut check time.
It is.
You'd be surprised who you're going to check off when you ask the Holy Spirit to help you.
And you know, yes,
you
yeah.
You might have been on the fence on that one, and God says, no, this one. Because he has the big vision. Like I said before, he's looking down the road a year, 2 or 4 years, whatever their term in office is.
Yeah. Because keep in mind, God had every moment of human history in his mind before he made anything.
That's an overwhelming thought, but it's a wonderful thought. Sometimes our little brains can't wrap around that, David.
Well, you know, when I get up in the morning, I have trouble imagining the whole day. So, you know, can imagine. But so we don't have to understand it.
Mm-hmm.
We just have to believe it, because that's what scriptures say, that God is all-knowing. That means there's nothing that he knows everything. There's mm-hmm. nothing he doesn't know.
Yeah.
And it all starts with, before he said, let there be anything, he had a complete view of the entire landscape of human history until Jesus comes and all of the events in the revelation to John mm-hmm. occur. And that's a fact. I believe that with all my heart. And if you're a believing Christian, I hope you believe that too. But that should say to you, okay, just because God knows everything doesn't mean that I can just sit back and not do anything. And another point I have to make, some of you Christians out there are saying, well, why should I even vote? My vote doesn't count. Listen.
That's a dangerous thought.
They count every vote. And it's even been suggested at the last presidential election, they counted votes that were never tossed, you know, that were never put in there.
Mm-hmm.
That it might have been, you know, I'm not going to go and unearth that issue, but I'm saying we know that, well, for instance, when I was living in Chicago and going to seminary up in the north of Chicago, that dead people could vote in Chicago And it was an amazing
thing.
That
sounds like a Weekend at Bernie's thing, yeah, where they really get the string and pull the hand up.
Sure. Well, and let's face it, we know there's voting. I've been voting fraud ever since there's been voting, mm-hmm. however long, how many centuries that is. But, you know, it's a potential issue in any stage. And right now, today, with we need to ask God to, and I pray daily, I pray at the end of my day when I go through my Bible study and my prayers, I always ask, Lord, pray that all of our elections are honorable, and that there's, you know, no fraud in them. And we have to pray that. We have to speak that.
It would be interesting if you dialed up your local office of elections and made a little request. May I come in and bless this office?
Well,
I wonder what kind of response you'd get.
Depending on the supervisor of elections.
It's true.
You might not. But, I mean, it wouldn't hurt to ask, and mm-hmm. all I can do is say no. But if they won't, you can always, you know, a lot of people do is, like, they go to Washington, D.C., and they pray in front of the Capitol building, the White right. House, all of the major places, the Supreme Court.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, y'all ought to go up and pray in front of the IRS building, because that recent law that was passed is just going to, they're going to hire twice as many as they have, and oh, man, another issue of people really not paying attention to what's
going
on. That's
a Pandora's box we can open one day and do six programs on.
Yeah, we could. Oh, you know, and I guess we need to say we're not trying to be overtly political, but because we believe that, and the scriptures even encourage the church mm-hmm. to be involved in the culture around you and to pray about who to vote for, to speak up about things that are not God-honoring in government mm-hmm. and decisions that have been made or are about to be made that could be very devastating. And most especially if the Spirit of God has a hold of you to say or do something, that if we don't say anything,
mm-hmm.
what is it? I'm not going to say this right, and I don't remember who the quote was from, but all it takes for evil to... do you remember that quote? All it takes for evil to, I'm going to say, be manifest is for mm-hmm. good men to do nothing.
I think one of our forefathers said that.
It was a 19th century person. Mm. I know one of our listeners is going to write us a little card, and tell us the depth of that and where it came from, and that we'd love to have that, because
sure.
I could go online and I know I'll get it instantaneously. But whoever said it, it's mm-hmm. true. All it takes for evil to rise up in any culture is for the good people in that culture to do nothing.
In other words, they didn't go out and get into good trouble, David.
They didn't get out and get into good trouble. And we're going to be in some good trouble if we don't end this now,
okay.
because our time is running out. But thank you, folks, for joining us, and we hope that you'll pick us up next week. God bless you and keep you.
Amen. God bless. Join us again next Sunday at 5:30 a.m. and 5:30 p.m.
Diving deep with us into God's holy word,
that we might all be encouraged, strengthened, edified,
and receive renewed hope that the Lord is on the move
and his perfect plan is unfolding in our time.